also, he came to give us himself. So let's start there tonight, eh? Getting saved is about finding Jesus. And we, Louise read it for us tonight. She said, I knew you. I formed you in your mother's womb. I chose you. So now I'm saved. Hallelujah. I believe. Where do I believe? Excuse me? In my heart. We were chatting with the young adults of Friday. Do we believe with our heads? No, we believe with our hearts. So now I'm believing. I don't have to believe with my head. My head needs to be transformed. That's what needs to happen with my head. A lot of the times our head is in the way. Believe with our hearts. And then from the heart, we confess, we proclaim the wonderfulness of Jesus. We speak truth, which we read in these beautiful pages. We don't proclaim the news. We don't proclaim Instagram posts. We don't proclaim scripture of the day. We proclaim Jesus. Proclaim Jesus. Because he said, I'm the truth. Again, I'm the truth. Jesus, so we come to Jesus. Now I'm safe. Now I'm with Jesus. So now I want to get there. But for too long, I thought, that's why I get saved. So that I can one day walk on streets that are golden, have pearly, what's that pearly stuff? Pearly, get through the pearly gates, be met by Peter and Paul. I don't know who's going to stand there, Moses. And this, who do you think, Stefan? Come on, wild guess. Moses and Elijah. Come on, lekker. You meet Moses and Elijah there, and it's just like, yes. But now we've got this whole journey on earth that we want to do this thing, eh? Who wants to do this thing? So we know that we've come to Jesus. I love the whole Bible. Do you guys know that in Romans 3, verse 21? I'm not going to page it tonight, but in Romans 3, 23, it says, we all have sinned. Say, I have sinned. I fall short. But there's a gift. And Paul writes in Romans 3, he says, the law and the prophets testifies of this righteousness that is given. Given. Is it earned? No. Mr. Jan David quoted now, it's by grace that we are saved. We see that in Ephesians 2. But it points to this man, Jesus, who's going to come. And this, he gives us life. But what does he give us? Himself. So we don't want to lose that. Thank God she got it right first. So that's why I'm pointing to her. So we know that in this state that I am, now I'm being saved, what I technically deserved, what did I deserve? Yeah. Hallelujah. Who's thankful that you're not dead? So do you know that you were dead? When last did you think about that? I was dead. Ephesians 2, Paul teaches, and you who were dead in your trespasses. Now some of us think we were maybe a little bit naughty. Maybe a little bit wrong. Some of us think we were a little bit van die pat af. No. You were dead. Now you are alive. It's not that you were made a better man. You were made alive. You were dead in your trespasses, deserving of wrath. Greatly to be praised. Great is the Lord. And it's nice to sing these songs, but it's in these moments that we realize, hey, I should be still hanging on that cross. That's where I belong. And it's good to remind ourselves of that actually my place should be on that cross. But this gives me awe and reverence when I stand here and I look through the corridors of time, like Bulmari always said, like, and I know there's the eternity before me, but there's this road that we want to walk. And it gives me reverence in my heart. It gives me worship. And every time I wake up in the morning and I go like, oh, new mercies again. So Lord, what do you want to do today? What do you want to do today? That's now the revelation that rings in every Christian's heart. Lord, what do you want to do today? Or what do you ask the Lord in the mornings? A boat. What do you ask the Lord in the morning?
Lord, please bless my business.
It's not a bad prayer. It's good. I mean, like, but what's your first prayer? Is it? Are you thankful? He's thankful. What's the first thing you ask after you're thankful? Daily bread. Come work in my heart. That's good. Let your will be done. That's good. Jesus taught that. Matthew 6. So Jesus, because of his great love and rich mercies, he made us alive. It's by grace. And he raised us up. And he said, now we're seated in heavenly places. Give this man a chair, man. Yeah. In heavenly places. So now, you and I, we're seated in heavenly places. Do you guys know that you're seated in heavenly places? Do you guys feel like that all the time? No, thanks, guys. Yes. I love the honesty here. But we're in this position, we're in this condition where we've got displacement with next to Jesus. It's amazing to think about it. Come on. So now I'm there. I'm by grace there. Am I there because I deserve it? We need some, the guys at the back there. Come on. You must say no. What are you looking there? Come. So I'm seated in heavenly places. Why? Because Jesus died for me and you. So we wanna get this, okay? So Jesus is the gift. Jesus is the reason. He's the one. He's our Savior. And then the next thing starts to happen. He calls us now out of this thing into a friendship. Who of you guys likes the fact that Jesus wants to be a friend? Do you guys think about that sometimes? Who of you guys know that that is not unconditional? Okay, none of you. Okay. Who of you, does anyone know that it's not unconditional? It is conditional. Friendship with God is conditional. Who of you guys like that? Okay, this is getting very quiet now. Okay, now we're getting into the juicy parts, guys. Are you guys ready for this? Not, okay, thanks for the honesty. So now I'm saved. And why am I saved? Let's get into that a bit. Let's get into that a bit tonight. Why am I saved? Why did I not just get wrapped? I've told some of you guys, when I was younger, I thought I'm going to be like Enoch. Like, what's his name from Star Wars? Star Trek? What is it? Whoop. Beat me up, Scotty. When I got saved, there was a season in my life when I loved the Lord so much. Really. I loved him so much. I thought he's going to take me away. And I'm still here. And I realized because there's a path to walk. Jesus has stuff to do. What did Jesus say when he was walking on earth? Randomly one day someone was interrupting him and he said, whoa, I'm busy with my Father's business. So the Father still has business. Okay, so let's read a bit about that tonight. So the second line, now he will fill me with joy in his presence. The first thing that I've thought of when I read that, and I realized again, and even as we were singing tonight, he is good. He wants to give us joy, but he never promises us happiness. I'm sorry, guys. I'm really sorry. He never promises us, come on. It's through the trial. Actually, what does he promise us? Troubles. Who's excited? Woo! Why troubles? Come, someone here at the back. Come, front someone. Give me it. Why troubles? It costs faith. Yes. It produces. Ask it now. Francis' neighbor. What's your name? William Paul. My goodness. It's so nice. You got it twice. Yes. So William Paul say, troubles is good because it produces faith. Faith is what we live by, guys. So we get juice when we get troubles. Juice. It fills you. It's like petrol or diesel, whatever engine you've got. So faith is produced, literally. The Bible says it, I think, in Peter, somewhere, But anyway, James chapter 1, hallelujah. Thanks, Stefan. So we've got But now, Jesus doesn't just invite you into trouble. He invites you into a friendship. Come on. Come on. This is very exciting. So let's read somewhere. Okay. Let's read this. John 15, verse 14. John 15, verse 14. Jesus says, you are my friend if. Say if. In other words, it's conditional. As a voorwaarde in Afrikaans. If you do what I command. Not if you put up your hand and now you're saved. Not if you sing my favorite song. Not if you pray my favorite prayer or your favorite prayer. Or the scripture of today, straight out of YouVersion. Oeh, yes, ek het my 5 minute gevat. Nee. If you do what I command. Not suggest. Not recommend. Command. Say hallelujah for commands. He says it again, actually, in John 14, 23. Anyone who loves me, listen to this. Who loves Jesus? Whew. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Pressure is coming now. Will obey. Say, I will obey. He's teaching. And listen to this beautiful. You can put your hand down. And now, and it says, and Jesus says, my Father will love them. And we will come and make our home with them. I want to encourage all of us. Go and listen to Andrew's latest teaching on YouTube. It is on YouTube. We win in team. So he invites us into a friendship, but this friendship is not just between me and Jesus. So that's I had this problem. I thought it was about me and Jesus. I really thought it was about me and Jesus. I really thought so. And I remember coming to Josh Jane, 2011-ish, got married, early 2012, and I went to the first 412 time in Cape Town. And Andrew preached out of the Bible, that this life is not about me. It's not about me and Jesus. He showed me that the church was birthed, and it was suddenly about his church. It shocked me. I was crying for 3 days. Straight. And I realized, my goodness, I can't do this. Suddenly, I can do me and Jesus, but this is a lot. Because now I have to bear with MJ, and I have to, she's the easy one. But I have to bear with Logan. Nina's still the easy one. I have to bear with Logan, and Mike is the easy one as well. But then I have to bear with Vayna. I'm joking. But now suddenly the Lord brings us in. But listen to Psalm 16. Let's read verse 2 and 3 quickly together. There's two things that David understood very well. And he says, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Who of you guys sometimes feel good when you walk out the gym? I feel terrible when I'm okay. I'm joking. Now, sometimes we feel good when we accomplish stuff. We had a good day at the work. We had a good day. I ate well today, perhaps. Or I exercised well. Or I got my degree or whatever. Got the promotion I wanted. Got the boat I wanted. I got the car I wanted. I got the house, whatever. But David understood something very deeply in his heart. And he says, apart from you, verse 2. Apart from you, I have no good thing. So that's the first posture. Of someone who understands that he is God and we are not. He is God and we are not. And in verse 3, his one passion is revealed right here in verse 3. For God so loved the world, ne? Jesus said, it's zeal consumes me for my house. Listen, David's version. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. David realized that God's heart is always for his people. It's not just about me and my relations, but it's for a people. A people. He's always calling his people together. That's so go listen to Andrew. I don't want to repeat everything he said, but we win in team. It's about a people, a people, a kingdom of priests. His heart burns for his people. The other day I was reading Matthew 6 and Jesus taught on prayer. And I was sort of Matthew 6, the teaching on prayer, as a very personal thing. Because Jesus says, go into your room, into your closet. Some of the translations says, go in, close the door behind you, and pray to your Father. And how does he start? He says, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So she said, give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. So we see this heart of Jesus, just like I think for too long we've almost been caught up in my papa. And there is a place for my papa. There is this place, but God's heart is always for us. It's always for us. There's only one, literally one book in the New Testament written for an individual. The rest is written for the churches. Every book is written for the churches, for the people. It's never written just for me or for Nina or Logan. Actually needs a special, I'm just joking. But there's like a, God says, imagine this. All my delight is in the glorious ones. All my delight. Who of you guys get excited when you think of church? Of struggling with Christians. I'm going to tell you something. This is part of the troubles that the Lord promised. It's working with the people around you. Learning to bear with one another. In patience. In long suffering. Because you don't. We were joking with Doe the other night. You don't grow in patience without trouble. So don't pray for patience. Just the trouble will come. Jesus actually said in Matthew 6, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have enough troubles. Come on. Come on. Come on. So Jesus' heart is always burning for his church, for his bride. Peter explains actually in 1 Peter 2, he says, you and me, we are like living stones. So each of us are like a living stone being built in. Now imagine this wall. That wall. There's stones in there. If we take Estian out, we take Michael just out of the stone. We take Nina out. Take Logan out. Take Rian out. Take the other Rian out. What are we going to have? Holes in the wall. What's going to happen? It's going to be troubles, eh? Well, unnecessary. This is not the type of troubles we. But these are part of the growing process. So now we've got this walk. I am seated. I am saved. But Jesus is not about getting me to heaven as quickly as possible. He is about, what did he say? I'm going to build my church. That's what Jesus said. I'm going to build my church. Now Jesus is building his church. Let's quickly talk about church for a moment. Can we have a, how does church work? Let's 2 minutes. Who's going to have an elder? Come, Steve. Will you stand here? So now I'm walking this journey, going to eternity. We see Acts 2 happen. The church is there, and they were devoted. Okay? To the apostolic, ne? To what else? To prayer, fellowship, to the breaking of bread. And what happens through as Acts unfold? What does the apostles do? They preach the gospel, and then they would say, now go and appoint elders. Now I've got elders. There's an elder. He's a real elder, by the way. He's actually the lead elder here. And they Stefan, and come Stefan. We've got another elder, and they're appointing elders. And what is the elder's job? To preach, they keep on preaching the gospel in the church, they look after the sheep. And at a stage, there was problems, and some of the ladies didn't get enough food because they didn't have husbands who could, and it was a bit tradition. And what they said, let's appoint some deacons. And they got, MJ, come here. Yeah. So they appointed deacons, people who were full of faith and full of wisdom, they said. And there's more deacons. There's Hendrik and there's Logan. Welcome. And now we've got this church and we're busy. What are we busy doing? That's what we're doing. We're building the church. And what else are we doing? We're preaching the gospel, yes. And what else are we doing? We're fellowshipping, yes. And now we're devoted to that. And what else are we doing? Matthew 28. We're making disciples of all nations. So this is what we're doing. We've got this whole journey. We appoint elders. We appoint deacons. We're making disciples. We devote ourselves to the apostolic, back to the apostolic, and we're devoting ourselves to prayer, we're devoting ourselves to fellowship, to breaking of bread. There's nothing about heaven yet. Nothing, almost forget about heaven, but don't forget about heaven, because it's with eternity in mind that really makes all of this powerful. Because there's an eternity that's going to come, and we're all looking forward to that day. Actually, I don't know where the scripture is, but we want to hasten a day. What's that hasten a day scripture? I don't know. This is church. So now we say we lead this guy to Jesus. Ben, you give your life. And now he's getting discipled here. And we lead another guy to the Lord. And he gets saved. He's also seated. He believes with his heart. He confesses. And we're discipling. And we need a Tani. Quickly, Nina, you can be the Tani. She doesn't have a husband yet, so the deacon's making sure she gets food, and then what we do is, okay, a little bit more, come, another guy, he joins, and he's being discipled, etc., Michael, and as the church grow now, then you start to appoint kind of comm leaders, because we saw in the Bible, this is actually biblical, and they met in each other's homes, so we see it. And now we do the same. We didn't create the meeting in each other's homes. We didn't, like Andrew was like, ah, the klinkse lekker, kom ons doen dit. Ach nee, ja. No. We see it in the Bible. So we meet in each other's homes. And what did we see in Hebrews? We see, don't neglect the gathering, as some has the habit of doing. Why is it a habit? Because if you do something three times, it becomes a habit. Bad things, though. If you try to do good things three times, it never becomes habits. It keeps, like Stefan preached last Sunday, it keeps on striving. Good things you need to strive for, bad things just become the habit. So in Hebrews, we warned. Did I say that right? Yeah. So now this is what we do. Our whole life is devoted to walking from here to there. Philippians, I think, I wrote off random quotes tonight, but I think Philippians 2 says, now we work out, what? Our salvation, how? With fear and trembling. It's not always fun. It's, again, like, Wynand Paul, what's your name? William Paul, my goodness. Now this troubles of working it out with stuff. Now I have to, like, this guy doesn't want to listen one day. Why not? Because I hate the mood. No, for it. Now I have to sit down. I have to make sure his girlfriend is saved. Why not? Because we don't want to be unequally yoked. She's going to obviously lead him somewhere not in God's plan if she's not in God's plan. Because God's plan is, like he preached last week, it's a narrow road, you enter through this little narrow gate, and then you're on this narrow road. And it's not narrow in the sense that it's like uptight and, I don't know, it's just a hooggeleerde. Nee? It's like, it's narrow in the sense that it is only Jesus. That's what it's narrow. Come on. Huh? Who wanted to, yeah, like, thank you, Jesus, come on. So now, it's fine. So now we're living, this is what we do. We do church. We worship him. We look after one another. We disciple one another. And actually, Paul writes in another scripture. He says, do good, but especially to the household of faith. So now you've got households, huh? Galatians 6. And as we live our lives, we've got this mission to disciple nations, to be devoted to one another. We not only because it's nice, but because we belong to one another, like a brick in a wall, like a body part in a body. If this hand, quickly for a moment, if this hand doesn't agree with this part, what's going to happen? Malfunction. You get, exactly. It's going to malfunction. Who wants this? So quick encouragement. Malfunction is going to happen, guys. We're all still working out our salvation with fear and trembling. There's a verse in the Bible. Is there? Well, we are being saved. 1 Corinthians 1, actually, now it came back to me. 1 Corinthians 1 says, and the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it is the power of God to those who are being saved. So I got saved. Hallelujah. I'm seated in heavenly places. I believe with all my heart. I confess with my mouth. I'm a new man. I'm no longer dead. Now I'm alive. But now I'm also being saved. And every now and then I malfunction. Even Vondre, with that cute face, even Vondre malfunctions some days. We're all still sinners in need of a Savior. That's why we are being saved. Our minds are being renewed. You guys can sit there. You guys are doing so well, eh? You guys must stay. You're still seated. You stay seated in many places. Come on. So now we're doing this. This is our whole lives. On this side of our lives, we still got other stuff to do. You still have to pay your taxes. You still have to go do your job. You still have to pick up your dogs outside. You still have to wash your dishes. Make your bed. Thank you, Jess. First pump. And all those stuff, still that's normal things. You have to do that, eh? Say amen. Amen. So let's get to the last part. Maybe Carla, you guys can start coming a little bit. We're gonna just sing at least one song to land tonight. Who wants to sing one song to Jesus? The last part of 6 verse 11 says, and with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So we just lost a couple of people there. Hey. I was at the brew crew. We love you. We love you. We're not that close to finish, but okay. So eternal pleasures forevermore. Let's read Psalm 16 verse 5. David says, you alone, listen to this, verse 5, Dominique. You alone are my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure, and my boundary lines have fallen for me in lovely places. Why? Because He is my boundary lines. My boundary lines is not this thing where I try to do the right thing. But it's I'm walking with Jesus. Yes, that sounds nice. So some mornings I'm going to get up and I'm going to feel like I'm scarcely saved. The Bible actually says the righteous are scarcely saved. Let that cause you to worship Him and seek Him more intently than ever. Not run away and go like, ah. Oh. Some morning is going to get up and I'm going to feel amazing. I want to run after Jesus. And whether we feel like this or that, I want to encourage us that faith is what we live by. Not how we feel. Faith in this heart of ours. Faith is the very substance of what we hope for, is eternal life with Jesus. And may our everyday prayer, our everyday passion, our everyday purpose be that we want to take, Lord, as many people with us So that one day when we reach eternity, the Lord says, well done, my good and faithful servant. We don't want to get there and go like, oh, I was too busy buying a field. Or I was too busy buying a boat. I was too busy visiting my girlfriend or my boyfriend or busy with my kids. No, man. Take your kids with. Take your girlfriend with. Let the boat go. Because Jesus' heart is burning still today. You know, in Romans it says that He is making intercession. He lives to make intercession for you and me. Every day He's burning. His heart is burning because He's waiting on the other side. And He said, come, come, come. I've given you all things that pertains to life and godliness for this whole journey. All things. I've given you myself. I've given you grace. And my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. You don't need to try to be strong. Actually, in your weakness, my strength, Jesus says, is made perfect. So our whole devotion to one another, to prayer, to the apostolic, to breaking of bread, to giving every day to the Lord, it's a very simple because He is worthy. He's worthy. I love Romans 14 verse 8 and 9, and Paul says this. He says, if we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. May that be the prayer in our hearts every morning. Lord, today, may I live for You. And may I die for You. Because dying You need to do. Dying daily, picking up our cross daily, putting our own desires to death. The married people will understand this a little bit better than if you've got kids, you understand it even a little bit better. You just get home after a hard day and all you want to do is just relax a little bit, and you got these eyes upon you, expectation. We were made for that. We were made to give ourselves to one another. We were made for that. Even for that, my grace is sufficient, says the Lord. I will live for You. You alone are my portion and my cup. In the blessing or the trial, it's You, Jesus. My boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places because it's You. So I will keep my eyes, verse 8, always on the Lord. Oh Lord, let our eyes be always on the Lord.